What is up, Sportscast? Welcome to the Sports and Stuff Show, the Kings of Sports. I'm Adam.
And I'm Carter.
And let's get right into it. All right.
Do you have any updates?
I don't. We won't be here next week because I will be at a game. Hopefully, dude, it's going to be so bad. It's going to be the Broncos.
Stories and stuff after that.
Dude, yeah, stories and stuff after. Dude, there's no way it could top my last game experience with the hockey game, but it'll probably be, dude, I'll probably, man, I don't even know. Dude, probably the tickets got, like, they probably went down in price since, like, the Broncos and the Chargers, like, even worse. Like,
I mean, I would believe it, yeah.
Man, like, oh my goodness. But, yeah, we won't do that. And then I think the week after, either the week after that or the week after that one, so in, like, 3 weeks, we won't have a step episode because I'll be in D.C. for a media convention. But, yeah. Other than that, I think there's, like, episode 46. Boise State. Yeah, so we had Fresno. They were the game for our homecoming and family and parent weekend. I still have no idea if they pair them up or not.
I don't know if that was on purpose or not.
Yeah, I don't know if they always do that or if not. But I remember last year we absolutely, you know, we did bad. It was against Nevada. Do you remember that game?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't here. I was home for a concert.
Yeah, that was, like, our one game that we legitimately did so bad, like, in, that we did not have, a chance to win.
It
like,
was pretty rough.
It was bad. We ended up losing, and that was when they announced, like, the whole, like, new logo or, like, the old throwback logo.
Yeah,
the Posey Stat knockoff. Because ours was definitely way better. And then they went all orange, which I feel like the all orange kind of, like, I kind of didn't like it.
Progressively. I don't know, I like them. I think it's cool.
I used to love the all orange. The very first jersey I got at Boise State was an all orange one.
The all orange basketball jerseys with the blue writing. Those are so fire.
Dude, like I like the all orange, but I feel like I don't really like these jerseys. I like the old ones. Like the old ones that maybe it was just because they're associated with winning or something, but man, I love those jerseys, like the old ones. And I think we even went over that when we talked about our favorite jerseys. Yeah. Like the old ones,
these ones.
So we beat them in the first quarter or first half was kind of rough. I mean, it kind of showed what we talked about where Talen Green, he's a hit or miss. You know, he can, you know, put a perfect drive together and have a score and absolutely look like we're just full control. And then the next drive, throw an interception on our own 5-yard line.
That was one of the worst throws I've ever seen.
That was bad.
Like, no exaggeration.
And he had some really good throws, and he had some really bad throws. And, I mean, that's what we expected. But, I mean...
Yeah, he had some pretty good ones.
Yeah, he had some pretty good throws, you know? Even that, like, touchdown at the beginning of the game, or I think it was the beginning. It was either that or the second touchdown we had where he threw it. It was good. It was a really good throw.
Yeah.
So he did pretty good. Per usual. So I think it went into like halftime 17-20 or something.
It was something like that.
Yeah. So like it was really close. And then they ended up scoring a field goal at the beginning of the half or at the beginning like of the second half and tied it up 20-20. And then after that point, we just blew them out of the water.
Yeah.
Like it was even close. Like, I mean, 40-20, which is so funny because what are the, like, two back-to-back games and we only play in, like, the second half? Like, dude, really?
I mean, this first half was a lot better than last week, but still
true.
Not great.
Like, we still let them in the game in the first half this time, but the second half of this game, we just blew them out again. Like, and, I mean, at least we're blowing out teams in some points of the game, I guess. But at least we're getting the wins.
Take a 40-20 you'll take a 40-20 conference win all day.
Yeah, right? True.
I got nothing to say bad about that.
And we got we had 200-yard rushers
again,
which was the first time in Boise State history where we've had two back-to-back runners like twice in a row. Which I feel like that's kind of like digging for a stat at that point. Like,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's pretty cool.
Having
but,
two
like,
people get 100 rush yards in one game is crazy.
Yeah, and like
having
doing
it
twice.
Doing it twice in a row, that's really impressive.
It's also funny because...
That's what the new offense is.
Yeah, like, it's funny that, you know, we used to be so pass heavy Mm-hmm. And our run game used to be non-existent.
Yeah.
And now our run game is literally carrying.
Even this year, before Plow was fired, the run game was pretty non-existent. Yeah. It's just so was the pass game.
It was only one game where our rushing attack was good, and that was against UT Martin. And that was it.
But other than that,
our running game, even last year, everyone was like, dude, what's wrong with Alani? Because he just didn't do anything.
I think that these last two games have shown that it wasn't really.
It was not
it probably
Alani.
Wasn't Alani's fault.
Yeah. Dude, it was.
He is cooking right now.
Dude, and then that was the thing. Like, he did really good COVID year, and then last year he did bad, and then this year at the beginning he did bad, and then was like, dude, what?
He averaged 9.2 yards per carry in this game. 9.2.
Didn't Taylor average like 7 or something?
Something like that.
Ashton, man.
But that makes
Ashton's good.
It makes a lot more sense for a quarterback to have a higher yards per carry.
Yeah, because he doesn't run that much either.
Right.
So
Taylor, no. He had 11 carries for 22 yards.
Oh, damn.
In college, sacks count as negative.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Negative rush yards for the QB, which I think is stupid. But
yeah.
But, yeah. Halani had 162 yards and a touchdown on over 9 yards per carry, which is, like, freaky. Like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's literally a first down, almost a first
right.
down. Like,
that's a Madden stat line. Seriously.
Yeah, like.
And then Jainty had 109 and 2 TDs himself. He's awesome. He is. Oh, they are so good together. That rushing attack is so fun to watch.
Man, so. I was kind of afraid because we lost Andrew Van Buren, and he was basically
he was the power runner, but he only averaged like 2 yards a carry.
Yeah, because we only used him on the goal line.
That's an exaggeration.
Yeah, we used him on the goal line. Like,
but it wasn't great.
And but Jainty.
Habibi Leakyo left too.
Yeah. I mean, he had some sparks where he'd do pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, he was pretty, like,
he was solid.
But, I mean, he wasn't, like, great by any means. But our running a game was also really bad. So imagine if he was, like.
He'd be the third back here.
Yeah. I mean, 100%.
He's really good for a third back.
Yeah. Like, man.
Like, this is genuinely one of the top running back tandems in the country right now.
Yeah, dude, they're good.
They're really good.
Dude, George Halani, he had an honor roll thing for the Paul Warning Award,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, I think he has a solid chance. I mean, he's putting up the stats.
He's playing incredible right now.
Like, yeah, like, man.
He's been by far the best player on offense this year.
I think J.O. Skinner, he's kind of not done much.
Skinner's playing good.
Yeah, he's playing good, but like I think there's some points where you know he's not playing. I think last year I'm a big JL Skinner fan.
Yeah.
But I think some plays this year he's kind of just where I think George Halani every single play he's been consistently great.
Like, I had to disagree on Skinner. I think he's playing really good. I don't know. I've been impressed with his coverage on some plays, and his pursuit is amazing. Like he's just really good. And honestly, the best part about him is his energy.
Uh-huh.
The energy he brings, and like he is always trash talking.
Well,
the other team.
He's 100% a leader on the team.
Yeah, oh, for
I took
sure.
a video last year of him trash talking the player, and I was like, they don't want the smoke.
After every stop, he would like walk over to their sideline, and he'd like after the last interception, he was like waving goodbye to the sideline.
That's so funny.
He would like run to the south end zone and like hype the crowd up. He's awesome.
Yeah. So I love Jalen.
Even when he's not having a great game, he's still a leader and an energizer and is a very positive impact. But he's playing good too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But man.
Next game is not till my birthday, actually.
Yeah, we have a bye week. Is it on your birthday?
It is. Of course it's an away game.
Wait, your birthday's on the 22nd?
Yeah.
Man.
Of course it's an away game.
Dude, so is my remember my one friend that I was telling you about from Tennessee? His birthday's also on the 22nd.
Maybe.
I talked about it a little bit when I was like, oh yeah, he's at Tennessee, and you're like,
oh yeah, yeah,
lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
But yeah. At Air Force on the 22nd. We're on a bye this weekend, unfortunately, because we're hot now.
This will be an interesting game. Air Force.
There might be 5 passes thrown this entire game.
Dude, that's
Air Force
be like,
doesn't throw.
It's going to be like 700 yards rushing just
now.
In total.
Yeah.
Like maybe 1,000. Dude, that'd be crazy. There's no way it'd be getting 1,000, but.
No. Five, so 500 crazy. Would be crazy.
Dude, that'd be like, imagine.
Air Force.
500 per team.
Air Force early was looking like the favorite in this conference. Like, they were 3-0 going into conference play. or they were 3-0 non-conference, and they've kind of fallen apart. They got upset by Wyoming when they were like 17-point favorites, and then they also got blown out by Utah State. Not blown out. They lost by 7. And then their only conference win was Nevada. So they're 1-2 in the conference, which is pretty rough compared to what they should be. But yeah, they play at UNLV, so they'll get another win under their belt this week before they play us. But I don't know. They're not looking as good as I thought they were. I'll say that. They're actually second to last in our division.
Really?
Conference-wise.
I mean, I feel like it's so strange that Utah State is, like, doing well. Because, like, and but, even
I mean,
just...
they're not, though.
Well, even, like, last
they're
year...
They're 2-4.
Wait, they're 2-4?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. That's awkward. Well, like, even last year, it just kind of shocked me that they did, like, really well at the end of the year.
Because
I was like, dude, what? No one expected them to win
I mean, they won the conference.
Yeah, like, no one expected them to win. It was, like, San Diego State.
That shouldn't have happened.
Like, everyone thought San Diego State had it in the bag, like, at that point.
We should have beat San Diego State anyway.
Yeah, true. But, it was...
Yeah,
man.
Air Force on the 22nd. That's going to be a very run-heavy game. It'll be interesting.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Man.
On to normal college football. The new top 25 came out, and as always, there's some interesting things to talk about. Georgia's back at 1, and Bama is not 2. It's actually Ohio State. Bama slides down to 3 after almost losing to Texas A&M, which is bad. Tennessee is all the way up to number 6. Deservedly so. They beat the brakes off of LSU. And they are hosting Bama this week in Knoxville. College game day is going to be there. Bryce Young should be back. It's going to be an. This is the most excited I've been for a college football game in a while.
Wait, what game?
Bama at Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
UCLA is up to number 11 after beating Utah, like I said would happen on the last show. Little, you know, just throwing that out there. I knew it would happen. Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Zach Charbonnet are an incredible duo who, like, the entire Pac-12 should fear and probably do fear. TCU beat Kansas in Lawrence. So TCU moves all the way up to 13. Kansas still gets respect, though. They are only bumped down to 19. They only lost by 7, and that was with their quarterback getting hurt in the first half, which I'm not sure the extent of that injury, but their backup played pretty good. I mean, he was good. He made some good throws. So they're still ranked. Texas is back in at 22. They're sitting at 4-2 with Quinn Ewers. They beat Oklahoma 49-0.
Dude, that was bad.
49-0.
Dude, remember last year when they played? Yeah, I think it was last year.
Texas blew that huge lead last year.
Yeah, because they put Caleb Williams in, and Caleb Williams just torched them.
Yeah, so Texas is back in at 22. And honestly, if Quinn Ewers never got hurt, they would probably be 6-0 in top 5 right now. Like, legitimately. They would have beat Bama if Quinn didn't get hurt. So,
dude, they were one play away from Texas A&M
from
losing. Like, did you see all, like, the reactions to it? Like, Johnny Manziel was like, that is the worst play call I've ever seen
awful.
In my life. Like,
but, yeah, Texas deserves respect. They are a much better team than a 22nd ranked team. Like, those two losses are not who they are right now. So they should be feared. And how about this? James Madison, in their first year as an FBS team, they were FCS, now they're FBS. In their first year, they're top 25.
Man, that's crazy.
How in the world does that happen? I don't get that. But good for them. That's
pretty cool.
So that's all the notes we put down for top 25.
It's weird that they put, like, USC as Southern California on here.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, why don't they just
never
put them
see
at
it
USC?
Like that.
Yeah, like, what?
Do they have UCLA as California, Los Angeles?
No, they have UCLA as UCLA. Yeah, and then TCU as TCU. Oh, this is weird. I feel like this year, it's been so, like, the whole NCAA, like, top 25 has been so weird. Is that just me? I feel like this year
they're doing a pretty good job.
I feel like they're doing a pretty good job. I just feel like
I haven't had
it just feels really weird.
Because,
I mean, in the top, like, 4, I feel like there isn't that much movement normally. But, like, I feel like this year they kind of just been scrambling.
It is interesting
between Georgia
that,
and Alabama
that
and
all
Ohio
three,
State.
All of the top 3 teams won this week, and they're all
mixed up.
They're all in a different spot than they were before.
Yeah.
I don't think it's wrong, but low key, Ohio State should maybe be 1.
That's what I've been saying. saying.
They might be number one right now, but you know, the games. If Bama beats Tennessee this week, they're automatically one. If Tennessee beats Bama, they're going to be top two.
Yeah,
which is insane to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But Hendon Hooker. Kind of speaking of Hendon Hooker, we put a little Heisman watch down here. I put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I believe the top 7 candidates, at least in my own eyes. You can argue some other people deserve to be here, but these are the top 7 as I see it right now. Just get into it. C.J. Stroud. This is not in order. C.J. Stroud. Everyone on this list is undefeated, by the way. So I put their record here, but they're all 6-0 or 5-0. So undefeated Ohio State. He's sitting at 1,737 pass yards, which is crazy, and 24 touchdowns to 3 picks, which is nuts. And that's all passing. He has nothing rushing. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is sitting at like 1,741 total yards, 19 touchdowns, 2 picks. Obviously, UCLA is at 11. Caleb Williams is also at 1,734. Not also, but they're all in the same range. 1,734 in terms of yardage. 17 touchdowns, only 1 interception, which is really impressive. Bryce Young is... I have Bryce Young in here. He missed time, so I'm not sure... I would put him lower than almost everyone on this list.
I don't think he'd win again.
Probably wouldn't. But I think in a list of 7 or 8, he deserves to be on the list.
Yeah.
He's sitting at like 1,400-ish total yards, 17 touchdowns, 3 picks. Blake Corum, the only non-quarterback on here for me. He's running back from Michigan. He has 755 yards right now, 11 touchdowns, hasn't fumbled once. I don't see him winning it, but I think he deserves this recognition. Hendon Hooker, who honestly is probably top 3 for me right now, is sitting at 1,670 yards, 13 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He has not thrown an interception this year, which is insane. And the Vols have him to thank in very large part for their excellent season. And then I threw in Stetson Bennett here. He's at about 1,600 yards, 10 touchdowns, 1 pick. He's only thrown 5 touchdowns. He's thrown 5 and rushed for 5, which is kind of crazy to think about.
That's crazy.
But yeah, Stetson Bennett in there. That's who I have right now. Other guys who maybe deserve some recognition, Will Anderson, I guess. They're not going to give it to a defensive player.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the country, though.
I think I've already kind of like talked about this. Bijan Robinson, I think he could be a dark horse.
Could be, yeah.
Right now. He has 10 touchdowns, 645 yards.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have as many as like...
Corum's definitely statistically outperforming him, but...
I mean, Bijan Robinson is the heart of like Texas.
Like, Quinn, man. Quinn Ewers is really good.
Dude, Bijan...
really good.
Dude, Bijan Robinson,
Quinn Ewers is an NFL quarterback. Like, he's...
Yeah.
Arch Manning is going to sit on the bench next year. Absolutely. I think he should redshirt. Let Quinn go again next year. Then he'll get drafted, and then Arch should play. I don't think Arch is that good, to be honest. At least not.
That's cap.
I don't think he's that good.
Dude, every single Manning has been great. Like,
dude, I think he's massively overrated.
Have you seen some of his like his height, like his videos? Like,
I've seen his videos. Yeah, I see him playing against guys who look like they should be on a C team at a 2A school.
Dude, he's
competition
good.
He's against is pathetic. It looks like he's walking out there.
Dude, he's good. He's 100%.
I'm sure he is good. He's also stupidly overrated, I think.
I think he's going to be the best quarterback.
He's playing such terrible competition. Like, he's playing nobody's.
Yeah, but
it's bad.
You could say that about Trey Lance.
It's not the same at all. Yeah, he's in high school right now.
Yeah, but you could also, like, there's so many people in high school that, like, that literally just play against nobody.
I've never seen someone
really
talked
good.
About so highly play against such awful competition. All those videos, the defenders look like they're walking. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, but he's also it's so pathetic. Good that like he just makes them look even worse. Like
they're doing a good job of looking bad all on their own.
And then he's like, he's building on top of that.
No matter how good he is, he's sure as hell is not Quinn Ewers. Because Quinn Ewers is legit. He is incredible.
I mean, I'll give him like...
You played excellent this week.
Yeah, like, I mean, well, Quinn, he already has, like, the notoriety there. So he's definitely not, like, I doubt that, unless he just, like, starts stinking up the place or something, like, I doubt he's going to start, but, I mean, I don't know. I don't even think
Quinn,
like,
had 289 and 4 touchdowns, and he looked better than that stat line.
If I'm going to be honest, I don't think he, like, legit. he'll even end up at Texas. I think he might, like,
Arch?
Decommit. Yeah, I think he might decommit, go somewhere else.
I think there's a chance because he definitely isn't going to start over years year one. So if he wants to start year one, he should go somewhere else.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess, so.
But, yeah.
We'll see.
And I didn't put this in here. That was going to be the end of college football, but I just remembered your boy Spencer Rattler upset Kentucky. That was interesting. But just thought I'd throw that in. He didn't even play very good.
it was just a team effort. It wasn't like a Quinn type of thing.
Yeah,
but
he didn't actually do that good. But
dude, oh my God.
I'm still rooting for him a little.
No, I'm not, dude. I still remember, and I think
I'm split because like I guess I haven't seen any of him off the field this year, so I don't know if he's different now. But he just got written off so much. I was kind of hoping he would bounce back a little. But then again, you know,
he sucks.
He kind of had it coming a little bit.
Yeah. I still remember our very first conversation we had in person was about Spencer Rattler. And I told you, I was like, yep.
I thought our first conversation was about the Packers-Saints game last year.
It was in the conversation. Yeah. I know we talked about it because I remember we ate at
we
Buster's Kitchen.
We dined over the BRC.
Yeah,
and talked
new
about
Buster's
football.
Kitchen now. Yep, we got the burgers. You know, we had the burger with like the mac and
so
cheese on
bad.
It.
Those were so bad,
dude. The only thing good about that was the mac and cheese. That was the only thing good about that.
I didn't even have the mac and cheese.
You didn't put the mac and cheese on your burger. I thought we both did.
I didn't. No, oh. I should have.
Oh, man,
I
are
have
sure?
not. I haven't.
I
eaten
swear
there
we
this
both
year.
Did it.
I haven't eaten there this year, and I don't think I plan to.
Well, yeah. Do you even have a dining blend?
I have a few meals. I bought some.
Man. But, yeah, we were talking about that, and then I was like, dude, I swear Spencer Rattler is not going to be the first overall pick because he's just going to stink up the place.
That's true.
And then
I thought he was going to be the first pick.
And I was like, oh, man.
I don't get it. He was good.
Nah, he was not.
He was.
He was not good.
The year before he got benched, he was playing good.
Trash.
He was definitely playing.
I did not like him. Even then, I was like,
pfft. He's a lot. He's worse now than he was.
And that's the thing about like football. I feel like we always talk about this. It's a mental game where it's like if you don't have like if you don't believe in yourself, you're gonna stink up the place no matter how good you are. And I think that's what Jalen Ramsey's kind of struggling with a little bit now because I feel like he kind of is falling off a little bit.
I don't think so. I mean, he had a bad game against Diggs, but it's Diggs. It is what
Yeah,
it
but
is.
He also had a couple bad games against everyone else that they played.
He's not playing that bad. The thing about Ramsey is when he gets cooked, it's much bigger news than when other people get cooked.
Yeah, it's true. Well, that's like the thing. Like, everyone knows if a corner didn't do their job, like they could just
and
tell.
Especially one who talks as much as he does. So,
yeah, for real.
Like it, I think it's being overblown how much he's playing bad or whatever.
Yeah, for real.
Either way,
man. I feel like
if you had to pick two guys on this
on here,
not even on here, just in the country, two guys who you would ride with to win the Heisman. Who are you going with as of right now?
I mean, I think the obvious pick is C.J. Stroud.
That probably, yeah.
I think he's most likely to win it. And if I had to bet, I would bet C.J. Stroud because he had a really good season last year. And it just makes sense that, you know, because he was in the running last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Bryce Young came by storm. Like, people were kind of, like, afraid about, you know, Bryce Young because of the Mac Jones thing where Mac Jones just left and all of a sudden Bryce Young did even better than Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And I feel like C.J. Stroud, it's his to lose at this point, if I'm going to be honest.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I do think that he's the leader right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Caleb Williams, I feel like he's playing pretty good, but he'll win it next year. I think he'll win it next year.
You think so?
Yeah,
I think. Would he be your second pick, though? You can take those two. They're probably the top two.
I always love to pick running backs. I'm a big running back fan. But
you thinking Bijan or Corum?
Screw it. I'll go Bijan.
So you go Bijan.
I love Bijan
Robinson. Stroud. I would go. Other than those two, then, I would go Hendon Hooker and Caleb Williams. I think, okay, if Tennessee wins this week against Alabama and Hendon Hooker has, like, a good stat line, I think he's going to win the Heisman. I think he's going to keep that going throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a playoff chance. But that's a big ask because Young will be back. Alabama's still Alabama. Tennessee might still be Tennessee. I don't think so. They look different, but you never know. But Hendon Hooker is electric. He is that team right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, on to some NFL. It was a great week again. It always is in the NFL. Some of the top headlines. The Chargers won 30-28 against the Browns, despite their very best effort to
lose.
Wasn't
it 30-28?
That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said 38, and I was like, what?
30-28. They tried their best to lose. They really did. They gave it all they had, but they ended up pulling out the win. Brandon Staley. I called him stupid for saying Brandon Staley's going to be fired at the end of the year. And I still don't think he will be. And I was overreacting yesterday. I wouldn't fire him.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be fired.
Yet. But he is an idiot right now. Like, I can't even stress to you how stupid that is. Did you see the fourth down decision I was talking about?
Yeah.
So it's 30-28 with very, very limited time left. It's fourth and I think it was three. Ish, mm-hmm. something like that. They're on their own 30 to 40-ish yard line. Surely you punt the ball, right? I mean, the Browns have no timeouts. You punt the ball, you make them drive the length of the field to maybe get a field goal. There's not much time left at all. He went for it in his own territory, up two. He went for it, and they didn't get it. And they got bailed out that their defense played incredible and stopped them three times in a row, forcing a long field goal for Cade York, which went right, wide right, I believe it was. That was, like, he is so unbelievably lucky. That felt like he was literally trying to sabotage the team. It was so stupid. And it won't be talked about because they won, but that was so unbelievably dumb. Like, what? I don't get it. You don't trust your defense to stop Jacoby Brissett? You need to go for it on fourth down in your own territory? Come on. Like, just...
Dude. And, like, the thing is, too, is, okay, his whole thing was he's going to be aggressive. But the thing is he's just so inconsistent about it. Well, he's inconsistent. Sometimes they punt it. Sometimes they don't. And it's like, that's what causes issues, is when you're inconsistent about, why are we going to fourth down here and then not... Then, like,
I understand the importance of analytics in the game.
Even if they had the Bills, even if the Bills had that scenario, they're punting it 100%.
Oh yeah, for sure. I understand analytics are important and they help the game in a lot of ways. I get that. There are also things about analytics that I think are forcing stupid decisions, like really, really stupid decisions. I'll give you my favorite example: when teams are down by 15 and they score a touchdown to go down 9, they go for 2. I don't understand that. I don't understand why you don't kick the extra point. If you're down 9 and you don't get it, the game's over. Like, because they do it in late stages. If you're down 9 and you kick the extra point, you're down 8. It's a one possession game. No matter what, like, you're still in the game. You go for 2, you could be down 7, which is still just one possession, or you could be down 9 and the game's over. I don't understand it at all. I also don't understand why teams go for 2 when they're down when it's 14. They're down 14. They score a touchdown to be down 8 late in the game.
Oh, that's so stupid.
And then they go for 2. I don't understand it. Like, what? I don't understand why teams are doing this. I really don't. I get the analytics on the fourth down sometimes. I can't imagine the analytics said to go for it for Brandon Staley. I can't imagine. Like, I don't know. I think he's just being an idiot. But
man,
analytics can help, but I think an over-reliance on them can force some really stupid decisions, and I think we're seeing a living embodiment of that right now. I don't think he's a bad coach. I don't think he's going to be fired because I think they're going to be a good team. But I think he needs to maybe reevaluate some things. But
yeah, like, oh, man. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I remember I had a coach. I think I might have talked about this. Mm-hmm. He said, he was like, if you do nothing that I ask you to do, you're not going to be able to play for me. And if you do everything that I ask you to do, you still won't be able to play for me. Because you have to have a balance where, you know, you have to step out sometimes, because sometimes just playing by the, like, just by the book doesn't work. And
it's just a really good line.
What?
If you do nothing I ask, you won't play for me, but if you do everything, you won't play for me.
That's
good.
That's a great line. Because, like, you know, if you just are, and that's like the thing with some quarterbacks where it's like just 1-2 throw, then you're not gonna, like, you're not, sometimes, like, if the defense changes and they end up getting a pick because you were told to throw the slant, but they ended up covering it and you still try to throw it, like that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do everything they ask, because sometimes coaches, plays don't really work for certain things, and that's because everyone's still faulty. Like,
yeah,
you still have to do, like, you know, step out. And sometimes if you leave your coverage for a second just to, like, get the sack, like, you know, like something like that. So,
mm-hmm.
And that's, like, the thing with analytics is that it's robotic. It's not, like, fluid to where it's, like, you know, there's certain scenarios and it's, like, you know.
There's that saying, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. That's not true at all. Numbers lie, I think.
Yeah, like, well, it doesn't tell you the whole thing. Like, right. We've already talked about this with the stats. Like, if you look at the stats for certain people, they're,
it,
like,
buffed up.
It looks
at it very objectively. Like, when you talk about the analytics of going for it or not going for it, it looks at it very objectively. And that is not a very objective decision. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. And I don't think it can fully I can't think of the word. I don't think it can fully understand, like, the players on both sides, the momentum of the game, all of that stuff, which matters so much. I don't think it can be fully encapsulated by these analytics.
Well, like,
so I don't think the decision is always right.
Yeah, and, like, with quarterbacks getting their stats padded up when they do, like, the little forward flick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if
mm-hmm.
someone does that for 40 yards.
Yeah, numbers lie.
Yeah, and, like Jimmy G, when he threw it to Debo.
He's the perfect example of numbers lie.
Like, he threw it to Debo. Debo broke 60 tackles and scored a...
Against the Rams. We didn't even get to talk about the Rams game last week because it was Monday night.
Yeah.
dominant, by the way. But he had 115 receiving yards. How many do you think were after the catch? 115 receiving yards.
Dude, probably like 100.
105.
Oh, I was close. Yeah, like, dude, literally that's none of, like, literally
that's
none of
insane.
Jimmy.
Insane.
None of Jimmy.
It's insane.
Like, and that's the thing. Jimmy doesn't look half bad when you look at his stats, but when you watch him in the game,
yesterday,
you literally go, oh my
his stats
goodness.
From, his stats from yesterday were very, very good. And he didn't play terrible, but he was...
You want your eyes to be closed when you're watching Jimmy G. Like, it's bad. But, like, when you look at his stats, you're like, oh.
Look at Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but if you look at his numbers, he seems elite.
Yeah.
Like, the yards and touchdowns.
He's, like, mid, and then...
The yards and touchdowns year after year after year are among the best. But I think he's a good quarterback, but I don't think he's what his stats say he is.
Yeah.
And like... then it goes both ways. Like, someone, the numbers cannot look good, but they can play good. Like, that happens, too. I think
also, like, if you just throw slant in, like, in passive, you're going to, I mean, at least get some stats. But if you're not being aggressive and get to the win, then you're not going to be as good. Like, that was the knock on Kirk Cousins, is that, like, you know, sometimes he isn't, like, as aggressive as he could be. And sometimes he does make some bad decisions late in games. And it's kind of like that.
I think
the
aggressiveness thing the last few years is not really a thing. I think he's been aggressive. It's just now a lot of the decision making.
Yeah.
And he just crumbles on primetime.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like
crazy.
It's just, you know, game time analysis kind of thing where it's like, you know, game time, this is the moment. You have one play. Like, what are you going to do? Like, that kind of defines you type of thing where it's like stats, they don't like. Stats don't measure that type
of
thing.
I feel like you can point to, like, one moment in Kirk's career that he did that, where he, like, stepped up and was like, game time, one moment, do it. And it was that playoff game against the Saints when he hit that bomb to Thielen.
That wasn't Cousins.
Yeah, it was.
No, that was...
I'm not talking about the miracle.
Oh. I thought, yeah, because I was like, that's Case Keenum.
It was 2019. They were in New Orleans, and he hit a bomb to Thielen in overtime and then threw a touchdown on the next play. Yeah, not the miracle. That was Case Keenum.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Man, that seems so, like, I'm just going to be honest. That seems so fake.
What does?
That play, that the Minneapolis miracle.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he whiffed so bad. Like, dude, how do you do that?
That was a bad tackle.
How do you miss that bad on the last play of the game?
It's a pretty bad tackle.
Dude, oh my goodness, but.
Anyway. Man. The Giants are now 4-1.
Dude.
After a comeback win against Green Bay in London. How?
Dude, how? Green Bay.
Saquon Barkley is all the way back. Saquon Barkley is... Has there been a better running back this year?
Nope.
I mean, you could argue Chubb, but no, other than
remember
that,
at the beginning of the year when you were like, you're like, the only person that I would take like would be Barkley for the... And we both agreed on that.
Yes. And I didn't believe it at all.
Yeah, now he's like just... I think he's... Wait, look at the stats. How many rushing yards does he have compared to everyone else? He's probably far and beyond. Like,
well, because the thing was, at that time, what was it, MVP odds or Offensive Player of the Year?
It was Offensive Player of the Year and rush yards.
Yes. Yeah, and I was like, if Barkley's all the way back, like, he has a really good shot. But those odds say that he's not all the way back. So I'm like, might as well throw something on there in case he is back. And he's back.
I'm just saying.
He's second in rush yards.
Love running backs.
He's second to Nick Chubb.